The Reverend L.I. Ulysses Cook made his way from the rumour-pelted village through the silent, slumberous heat of the July afternoon, up the slopes of Benibuch to the old manse. Vestiges of partitions, piles of planking and straw, masses of metal. For almost a minute he stood there. There was nothing visible there, but turning his head back, he was stricken rigid with horror by the swift, noiseless apparition of Nebo Gipfel, ghastly pale, and with red-stained hands, crouching upon a strange-looking metallic platform, and with his deep grey eyes looking intently into the visitor's face. The doctor's red hands, too, he noticed, were trembling, and his lips closed and opened as if he, too, had difficulty in speaking as he gasped, "What do you do here?" Cook answered not a word, but stared with hair erect, open mouth and dilated eyes, at the dark red unmistakable smear that streaked the pure ivory and gleaming nickel and shining ebony of the platform. "In heaven's name, what are you?" he gasped. And then black curtains came closing in from every side, sweeping the squatting dwarfish phantasm that reeled before him into rayless, voiceless night. "Do not be alarmed, sir," said the philosopher with a faint smile, as the clergyman opened his eyes. "I have not treated you to a disembodied spirit or anything nearly so extraordinary. May I offer you this?" The clergyman submitted quietly to the brandy, and then stared perplexed into Nebo Gipfel's face, vainly searching his memory for what occurrences had preceded his insensibility. Raising himself at last into a sitting posture, he saw the oblique mass of metals, and immediately all that happened flashed back upon his mind. Dr. Nebo Gipfel smiled quietly.
"Come and look at these diagrams."
Hark! He paused and listened.
"Do you hear what they are crying? Burn the murderer! Do you hear? There is no time to be lost. Kill the devil's claw! Come! Come!"
And seizing his unresisting visitor by the wrist, he forced him towards the glittering machine. Cook sat down and covered his face with his hands. In another moment the door was flung open, and old Pritchard stood blinking on the threshold. A pause, a hoarse shout changing suddenly into a sharp, shrill shriek, a thunderous roar like the bursting forth of a great fountain of water. The voyage of the Chronic Argonauts had begun.